I don't know about you guys, but that sure impressed me. With Brother Don. Just thank you so much, Brother Don. I know you're not feeling well, but you are a devout Christian, and we're so thankful and so glad that you felt like doing that. We do have some visitors tonight, Susan and Cody and Pam and Rick. We're so glad to have you. We're glad to have everyone with us this evening. And tonight I want to talk to you about, first of all, though, I want to ask the congregation, the members of our congregation, to remain after our last prayer tonight. So I'll get that out of the way. But tonight I want to talk to you about one of the most comforting and joy-filled words in the Bible. I want to talk to you about reconciliation, and we'll be focusing our attention up on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Now, the word reconciliation means to harmonize, to bring again friendship, to restore fellowship. When friends have been at odds with one another and the breach is healed, here is a reconciliation, bringing again friendship. When a husband and wife have been estranged from each other, how wonderful it is to see a reconciliation take place, a restoration of harmony and fellowship. Reconciliation is the theme of the passage that we're going to be looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but it is more than that. Reconciliation is the theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Because of their sin, they were put out of the garden. Now, they died on the day of their sin in a spiritual sense. They became dead in sin, separated from God and the fellowship that they had enjoyed with their Creator before their sin was broken. Look at Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We read in Isaiah 53 and in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to its own way. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now, if you'll just turn over for just a minute to Isaiah 59, and let's read verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." The need for reconciliation is universal. It is universal because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3 and verse 23. Sin separates us from God, and all have sinned. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. The state that man is in once he sins is very well described by Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 12 when he wrote these words, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Look at that, brethren. Look at that. Without Christ, they're aliens. They're strangers from the covenant promise. They have no hope and they're without God in the world. That is why reconciliation is needed. That's why the early Christians raised the cry, "Be ye reconciled to God." Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. And we'll read those verses 14 through 21. There Paul wrote, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. But we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, in this passage, we learn a great deal about the most important reconciliation that there is, the reconciliation of a sinner to God, a reconciliation of fellowship in harmony. In Colossians, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21 that we just read, we learn the basis of that reconciliation, the effect of that reconciliation, where that reconciliation is located, the means by which it is achieved, and the result of the reconciliation. So let's look at each one of these individually. First, let's consider the basis of our reconciliation, the death of Christ. That's the basis of our reconciliation. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Now, a long time ago, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, said, "The soul that sinneth shall die." Those who are separated from God by their sins are in a very real sense dead. They are dead in sin. If you would, turn to James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. Now, James shows us the progression of sin. James shows us how it works, and in James 1, verses 14 and 15, James wrote, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's the progression of sin. The principle has never changed. It never will. It was that way in the Garden of Eden, and it is that way today. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. When someone sins, the penalty is death. It is separation from God. But consider now the grace of God. We sin and we deserve to die. But look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 with me. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. The Hebrew writer wrote, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." And you know what that means, brethren and friends? That means Jesus took my place. He paid my penalty. He died for me. There is the basis of reconciliation. He died for all, and therefore all died. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 now, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Let's read what Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 21 and 22. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Brethren, when Jesus died on the cross, he made our reconciliation to God possible. Without the Lord Jesus and his death, we would be doomed to eternal separation from God. Now, let's consider the effect of our reconciliation. And it is found in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. You might want to put a marker in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17, Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When an individual is reconciled to God by the death of his Son, he is then to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, as we find in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Now, this new creature is to have a new goal and a new purpose in life. The new creature seeks the things that are above. The reason for this is very simple, and it's found in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. Look with me. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, Jesus died for us so that we could live for him. He died for us so that we would live for him. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 now, please. Now, this new man seeks God's will. He doesn't seek his own. He seeks God's will. He lives for the Lord and not for himself. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, which is one of my favorite passages. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a beautiful passage? How beautiful it is. How beautiful. And because of his mercy, Christ died for us that we might be born again and made new creatures and live our new lives for him. The third point I want to make is how about the location of our reconciliation? Well, Paul points that out in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. Look with me. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. He wrote, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only access to the Father. We can come to him by no other way. There is no other way to come to the Father but by him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just as all other spiritual blessings are to be found in Christ, so too is reconciliation. You remember what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20? Let's look and see. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. Paul wrote, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. No person, brethren, no person can be reconciled to God if they reject his Son. You can't be reconciled to God if you reject Jesus Christ. Reconciliation is to be found only in Jesus. All mankind, regardless of race or economic circumstances or occupation or education or any other consideration, can find reconciliation with God only in Christ. Now, I'd like for you to look at a couple passages with me from the book of Romans. In these passages, Paul writes about the death of Christ and its blessings for us. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you would. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, Paul wrote, but God commended his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now then, let's go over just one chapter and look at Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 3 and 4 when you get there. Paul wrote in verse 3, and most of us probably know this by heart, we should, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is reconciliation, brethren. There is reconciliation. Those are the exact points that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5. The death of Christ, the reconciliation being in Christ, and the one who is reconciled being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Consider now with me the result of reconciliation. Back to 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 21, Paul deals with it in verse 21. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. Now, it is not by our works, but by his. None of us perfectly keep God's commandments. Even as we try, there are times when we fall short in sin. If we had to rely upon our own works, if we had to rely upon our earning our salvation, we would fall so hopelessly short and be lost. But because Jesus died for us that we might be reconciled to God, we are the righteousness of God in him. In other words, man who is guilty of many sins can be blessed as if he had never sinned and be clothed with the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5. Paul wrote, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." God through Christ has provided the way of salvation and is willing and ready to save all of those who have come to him in obedience to the gospel. When men come into the obedience of the gospel, God forgives their sins. He holds them against them no more. And they are righteous because they are forgiven. Then finally, let's look at the means of our reconciliation. And Paul points it out in the last part of verse 19 and all of verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. He said, "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." God has proclaimed the gospel as a means of making the possibility of reconciliation known to all mankind. This is why the Lord said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This word of reconciliation is the theme of true gospel preaching today. The gospel of Jesus is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, in Romans 1:16 tells us. So wherever and whenever the gospel is preached, reconciliation is the theme. When the apostle Peter told people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins in Acts 2:38, he was doing no more than pleading with those people to be reconciled to God. That's what he was doing. One last passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul wrote, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross is another way of saying the word of reconciliation. Paul exhorted Timothy to preach the word. Again, that is the word of reconciliation, the gospel. He exhorted him to preach the word. That's our concern today, brethren. That's our concern today. We proclaim the same message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we beg the lost of all the world to be reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. You know, there is no passage that I know of that promises forgiveness of sins after death. And thus I say with Paul, now is the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. Watch your life, your words, and your actions. Study to know what God would have you to do, and when you do, repent of it, and then ask your Heavenly Father's forgiveness. If you're a Christian, you are living in sin. And the only way you can become a Christian is by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're already a Christian and living in sin, you too need to come forward and have the brethren pray for you and pray with you so that your sins could be forgiven. Won't you accept God's grace today? Won't you accept His grace and be saved? Heaven awaits. Heaven awaits your answer. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, whether you're a Christian, whether you're an unfaithful Christian, would you please come forward when we sing the invitation song and let us help you make your life right with God. Brother Bill.